right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Susnow.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnow. Thanks for tuning in to the Inspire Possibility Show. And every week I interview people that I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, people who are wisdom teachers. And it's really not an interview. It's really a conversation. And in the process, I find that I'm no more than I did before, and I hope you will too. And a lot of the people I invite are people that I have a lot of respect for, and I know that Valentine's Day is a big thing for a lot of people, and the whole month there's this focus on relationships and how we do in there. And Valentine's Day kind of reminds us that if we're not in a relationship, it kind of reminds us that we're not. And then if we are in one, it kind of gets us to want to do the right thing, and there's always this pressure, and kind of leads me into another thought about holidays in general, how for a lot of people holidays are a difficult time. But there are a couple of people here, Lloyd Bardi and Deborah Wilder, and they are into this philosophy, this course they teach called Calling in the One. And when I first heard about it, I was thinking about, wow, what can we do to attract our ideal partner, our ideal mate, our ideal relationship? And then after I invited them to be on the show, I got a whole new concept of what they meant about calling in the one. So thank you, Lloyd. Thank you, Deborah, for being my guest. I've been looking forward to this opportunity for a long time.
Delighted to be here.
And so am I.
Okay. So what about that, what I said about calling in the one? I know that as I mentioned before, my perception was that there you were going to give us a guideline to how we bring in this one person into our life that is going to, you know, will be happy, will be delighted to kind of make our life different. And yet I know you actually have something else that you mean by that. So you want to kind of tell us what you mean?
Sure.
Who is the one? Well, Who is the one?
Well, first of all, I want to give credit for this whole concept to Catherine Woodward Thomas, who wrote this brilliant workbook by the same name, Calling in the One. And Catherine has trained people worldwide to share this brilliantly sequenced process of how to really see and find the barriers that we have to the love that is in all of our lives. Because it isn't that we're out seeking love. Love is all around us all the time. But our ability to receive love, to make connections, to allow ourselves to be seen is really dependent on where we're living in ourselves. So calling in the one is about calling in yourself. It's about finding the freedom and the acceptance and the confidence to know that just being yourself is the most lovable person that you can be. And when you can find comfort in that kind of relationship with yourself, then the one who is looking for you, looking for that delightful, unique person that you are, will be able to see you, because you're willing to show up as yourself.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is if you're really, really true to who you are and are really in tune with loving yourself, then another person can really see you as you, not somebody else.
Well, we certainly are having a better time when we're in love with ourselves, aren't we?
I think so.
More energy. We have more energy. We have more fun. We're more engaged in life. And that's certainly more attractive to someone who can match that energy, who can be an accurate mirror of the wonderful person that you are.
So, you know, what I've always have asked, because I kind of think the same way you do, but when people say you're into loving yourself, that you're kind of self-centered, kind of narcissistic, and I hear that. So what would be your response to be to someone that says that?
Well, part of that is in loving yourself, it's a willingness to actually be yourself, to kind of not overly scrutinize or censor or live in the fear of being seen. Over the course of our course, we do a lot of kind of deep excavation. We go into some past things and healing core wounds and stuff like that, because in order to create a space to be met and to meet someone, it's very important to have cleared away some of the obstacles, most which can be characterized as what are generally called belief systems, but we've started to call them disbelief systems, where, you know, I really want this, but I don't believe it's going to happen. You know, I continually run into something that doesn't work. I'm always choosing people that are unavailable. And there's these stories that accompany our personal search for love. And so what this class does, first of all, it allows everyone who courageously comes to be witness and receive. Yeah, go ahead.
So the class is, tell us a little bit, class is what, 6 weeks?
The class is 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
We have an orientation week, but the book, which we use as a workbook specifically, has 7 chapters and 7 lessons in each chapter. So it's 1 lesson per day. And honestly, the majority of the work is done outside of class. We get together, we have a kind of ritual-based sacred circle, and all that happens is people are received and they are able to share themselves. And that alone is an amazing gift for many people, to actually be listened to, because we do it kind of like a talking stick thing. We use a sacred object. We do very little process and almost no crosstalk. And just being able to hear yourself, to start to hear your own true voice perhaps, that's where the magic and the opening occurs.
So what you're saying is you're when you talk about true voice, you're kind of saying that it encourages people to speak their truth. How do you determine what someone's true voice is? Because a lot of times what our truth is could be what we think our truth is, but in a way it's, you know, a lot of people that have pathology or let's say are borderline pathology, they feel like they're speaking their truth too. I mean, how do you draw that line to where your truth is not harmful to somebody else?
Well, in the course, and Deborah can certainly share about this as well, we start to recognize what our needs are, what qualities are important to us, and we start to get more in touch with that rather than try and figure out what someone else wants and see if we can do that. So it becomes, that's where the self care is. It's the self is generating, and at whatever slow speed or whatever precarious path that creates for us, we're supported in taking steps that are at our pace and our truth. you know, it's not so much a debate of ideology. It's being willing to say, this is what's important to me. This is what's needed. And several times during the course, we ask people to consider and share, what is your vision of love fulfilled? It starts with a little checklist, and gradually it turns into how it feels and what they can imagine. And so the opening is without needing the other person to determine whether it's being done right or not. That's where you start to get the self more involved.
Mm-hmm. 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 You know, I was looking at Deborah's resume here a little bit, and so Deborah, you've been a psychotherapist for, it says here, 40 years, and you were certified by the Chopra Center to teach perfect health, yoga, and meditation. And so did you, as a psychotherapist, have you been engaged in this kind of work before in terms of, you know, our conversation today? What was, is this how you gained some of your insights? Or?
Well, my perspective for any of this kind of work is that we're really seeking the deepest home in ourselves. We're trying to find the place where we can relax and be at peace with who we are. So whether we're looking for a relationship or we need to change jobs or we're suffering a loss or whatever brings people to consider the inner life, that's really what the journey is about. And so my involvement in this course really grew out of my own seeking to be partnered again after having been married for 28 years and leaving that relationship for a new life at age 56, and then finding this book and actually experiencing the deep comfort of focusing on my intention to learn more about how can I open myself to love again.
And the name of the book, you want to, the listeners, let them know.
Calling in the One by Catherine Woodward Thomas. So in doing this book, I got to find out that I was still holding some fear from 20 years ago, that I had some judgments about how men are, that I was really timid about sharing my heart. There were lots of insights that came from this daily inquiry about where am I really living in my own thoughts. And meditation is very helpful that way because we get to just stop and be still and receive ourselves. I find it to be like the embrace of the ever-welcoming lover, to sit for a few minutes.
Being
completely received, being completely not judged, and
so
being
let me see if I got that right. You said the ever-lover, the ever-embracing lover? Is that what you said?
That meditation, for me, is the embrace of the ever-accepting lover.
I like
it's
that.
It's the unconditional place where I get to just be, just drop in and just be. No roles, no expectations, just be with myself and to receive this deeper part of myself, this intuitive wisdom that lives in all of us. And when I can have contact with that, I'm much more attentive to my own self-care. You know, self-care is such a very big part of a successful relationship because many of us are walking around with our childhood wounds expecting that when we find the right person, they're going to take care of that, take care of us in those places. So that when people come into this class, many times they really don't have any idea what it means to do self-care in an adequate way, to really attend to your needs, to rest, to walk outside, to be with nature, to feed yourself well, to be present to the things in your life that you care about. Those are all very simple self-care habits, but you'd be surprised at how many people are living a completely reactive life, just bouncing from one expectation to the other from the circumstances of their outer world, and having the guidance and the opportunity to drop into the inner world, into the inner life, where you get to rest and find out that you're already okay. That's really the strengthening of your ability to be intimate. Because you cannot be intimate with another person unless you can be intimate with yourself, unless you know who you are and you accept and love who you are. Then you have something to share with the other person. If you can't...
You know what I was thinking as you were saying that, you know, the only thing I could add to that or interject is that we're always in process. So we're always growing, we're always expanding, we're always in process. So who we are is always evolving. So at some point, you're never going to get to that. I mean, what I'm hearing a little bit is you reach that point when you're ready, but don't you at some point just have to be ready first and then grow into that space?
Ready for a relationship or ready to have your inner life? I'm not sure what you're asking.
Both. I mean that both. To where you say, in other words, it's in the, let's say in the writing process to at some point, you know, when Lloyd's in playing, you know, music, when do you say you're a writer or you're a musician? Do you need to reach a certain level?
We're never completely ready, but when we have connection with our inner life and we accept that we have needs, and we're willing to be responsible for our own needs, then we have a foundation to actually be steady enough to include someone else in our life. If we're just always seeking for somebody who will take care of me, we're not going to be able to sustain a very satisfying relationship that's nurturing and mutually evolving. None of us are perfect. We're all children seeking love, and we all are amazing beings. And if we know that and we can share some of that amazement, then our connection with each other is richer.
I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. My guests today are Lloyd Barty, Deborah Wilder. They teach a course called Calling in the One. And Deborah, you also give retreats, I think what you call rest. Is it rest and what is it called? Tell us about those retreats.
Rest and Receive. I do a day-long rest and receive retreat to just shut off the distraction of the outer world for a day, to really journal and move your body and eat nourishing food and be in the inquiry of what's really important to me right now. And then I take people away for destination retreats. I just got back from Kauai a couple days ago.
Wow, my favorite place.
Yeah, when you can step out of your routine and be with the Mother Earth, and really allow your body to get back in rhythm with nature, it's so restorative for your soul and for your energy to re-engage in your life in a more satisfying way.
So if people want to know more about your work and in your course and what you do and what Lloyd does, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, there are two options. One is called dancemarin.com, because Lloyd is the music Guru and Dance Marin has all of our events and things that we're involved with. What the other one is DeborahWilder.com. And do you want to give them another reference, Floyd?
Those are good. We're easy to find that way. And we have similar emails. That's a good way. We like to correspond that way. Deborah's is wilder@well.com. Mine is Lloyd, with two L's, of course. Lloyd@well.com. Well also has two L's. So those are the easiest ways, and we correspond and work with people all over the place. So that's an open door.
You have a couple of things. You have a course starting next week, I believe. Is that right? A local training in the Bay Area?
An in-person course, right, for the greater Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And we hold the class in our home, which is called the Love Nest. We limit it to six people at a time. It's a very intimate course. And I thought I'd give just a little more of the practical aspect of the course, because it is all about everything we're talking about, but we delve into something that is referred to as FOG, F-O-G, which stands for fear, obligation, and guilt. And we really explore how much that runs each of our lives and what we can actually do about it. And, you know, it's amazing when we go through this, and some people say, well, let's see, everything I do is based on fear. I don't have much obligation anymore, and I'm guilty every second, you know, not to make light of it, but to go into that and to let that come out. So we have kind of a deep dive into our past and our patterns and whether we're actually able to receive or not, which to me is the core of this course. Are you able to receive? Are you able to listen? Are you able to be loved? Can you imagine being adored? And that kind of freaks people out, even though they want it, when they start to actually feel it, which means to be yourself, to be vulnerable, and to be available for intimacy, real intimacy, then that's why we thank people who come be with us for their courage, because it takes a lot. It's also sure beats the alternatives of suffering and struggling and hiding and taking detours from where you would really like to be headed. So that's certainly part of it.
Well, that sounds great. You know, I looked at giving and receiving a long time ago when I wrote my first book, Dancing on the River. And the awareness I had is that the greatest gift you can make to another person is receiving their gift to you. That's the ultimate gift, is when someone gives to you is to accept their gift. And it's hard, just like you said, for people to receive. But that is the greatest gift you can give to another person, is receiving their gesture. And sounds like your course is a great course. And what if people really want to get exposed to you and your work, but they're not local? What happens then? Do you have any online classes or?
We're working on
a lot of those things.
And Deborah does a lot of Skype counseling and series of sessions to help people deepen and open, which need to happen simultaneously. And we talk about what Deborah referenced as, where do you live in yourself? And it sounds conceptual, but if we're living in fear or obligation, or we're afraid to ask for what we want, and similarly, you know, it's very difficult to ask, to say, this is how I feel. I want you to know. And so where you live in yourself, if it's not a open, clear place, then we like to suggest, well, maybe you should put a little change of address into your inner location, because you choose where you live in yourself. You can live in openness and curiosity. You can, you know, lean towards relaxation rather than reaction. And this is all what is the experience of not just our course, which we've now taught 27 times, which means we participate in it as well. We answer the questions. I'm starting to get it down after 27 sessions, I have
to say.
Wow. But the neat thing is...
So what do you think the magic number is going to be, 32?
Yeah, I don't know. I love this course, and we love teaching it together because we get to answer the same questions.
Uh-huh.
I used to have a by-rote answer. You know, what was it like in your family of origin? I used to have this story, and after three or four times, I started thinking, where did this story come from? I don't even know if this is true. Where did I get this? It's just a story I'm carrying around. So I started thinking more in terms of now, what's my relationship to my history and my patterns, and how can I start to loosen and let go of them? And that's another reason we love it, is because we go through the same journey with a different group of people, and it's rich, and it's full of appreciation and laughter and tears and music. So it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than great.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
that's how we met also. I mean, that's how we re-met. It's such a good story. Maybe Deborah can share it.
Well, hang on one second. Hang on one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're kind of coming near the end, and I do want to hear this story. But I also there are a couple of things I want to ask you, but I'd love to hear the story. I know you've shared that with me before, and I would like to hear it again, and I think our listeners would really find it inspirational. And that's really one of the things I was going to ask you is about, and I ask all the listeners because of the name of the show is all of my guests is the Inspire Possibility Show. And so I always like to know what inspires you and what gives you hope. And I think your story would be almost the answer to that question.
Well, Mark, I'd like to offer the listeners one of the key pieces that created this story for me, which was during the course, there's an opportunity to sit in meditation, imagining that your future partner, your beloved, is sitting right next to you, knee to knee, and that you're looking into his eyes or her eyes, and you get to speak your heart to them. And for me, this was so key because I was so shut down in my ability to share what was real in my previous marriage. And so as I practiced this meditation, it became very comfortable for me, exciting almost, to be able to say what was really on my heart in my imagination. And during that practice, I saw this man that had white hair and green eyes, and I just worked with that. So when I finished the course, I set an intention that I would meet my beloved in the spring and I would be married by Christmas and we would be walking on the beach in Hanalei Bay in Kauai for my birthday in January. So one of the keys about the course is to finish the course and then just open your heart. So I was just enjoying living my life. And I was invited by a business acquaintance to do some design work in the Bay Area. And she sent me a website to check out to see the colors that she wanted in her design. And on that website, there was a scrolling testimonial box of people who were giving testimonials for this person's website. And one of those people was Krishna Das and Jayutal and some people like that. And the other one was Lloyd Barty. And I saw that name go by, and I said, I wonder if that's my old friend from 30 years ago that I knew when we were Sufi dancers together. And I looked him up based on that information, and there he was producing my favorite artist, Tina Malia, the weekend that I was going to be here in the Bay doing design work for this client. And I just said, innocent email saying, I really would love to come to the concert and say hi to my old friend. You may not remember who I am. But as things unfolded, he was so happy to get my email. I arrived on April 29th for the concert. I never went home. We were married in November. And by previous arrangements, he was doing a retreat on Kauai the same time I had scheduled doing one of my rest and receive retreats. And we actually did take that walk on Kauai Beach.
Well,
for my birthday in January. It just was magical.
All right. So we got to sign off here. So thanks for sharing your magical story. May all of you be inspired.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so
we hope
much,
to hear
Mark.
From
Thank
everyone.
You.
And it's been an honor.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.